Hi, dear movie breakers. Here I am, Lida Bach for your favorite movie magazine. And I'm back in Berlin, here able to talk with Letizia Dosch. Hi.
Hi.
And she made an awesome movie, which I could already see at Cannes and then again at Locarno. So you have been festival hopping the last year with your film. And it's called Dog on Trial. And this is exactly what the film is about. It's about a dog being put on trial. And when I got a little bit into that story, I read it's inspired by true events or by prose, like by trials, by court trials that actually did happen. And you took inspiration from those trials and made a fictional story based on these facts.
Yes, indeed. So I'm an artist and I like to work on ecological problems, on our relationship with other species. So I wrote a play with a horse, and in the audience was a woman who came to talk to me afterwards. And she talked to me about a trial around a dog. So the dog had bitten 3 times and his master was on trial. A woman complained about the fact that she had been bitten on the face. So the master was on trial, not the dog. Because the dog is considered as a thing. So I thought this, and the city went crazy. People got really passionate about this story, against wanting the death of the dog, animalists getting also passionate to defend the dog. So it was really a crazy story full of passion. And I thought it would be interesting because it would be funny and also very profound with social questions about now, actually about the present. And so I decided that as the dog is considered as a thing in the law, it would be interesting that suddenly a lawyer could prove that it's not a thing, because of course the dog is not a thing. And that a crazy judge would say, okay, he's not a thing, so he might be someone, like an individual, so he deserves to have a trial. And that would be funny and also profound, because animal statute is not clear.
And actually that is an item in law that's at the moment being questions, that animals are things, because if you torture an animal or hurt it or kill it, then it's usually damage to property, but it's not considered a separate crime since you killed an individual. It's just like damage to property. And is the Kurt case, which we see, the dog has not only bitten people, he has bitten 3 women. And this also plays a special part in the story. So you kind of link it with feminist questions. How did you get those ideas to link those very contentious subjects to each other?
If you consider a dog as a thing, you have to learn that slaves were first considered as things. Women were considered as things for a long time, couldn't vote, weren't able to have a bank account. So it's, for me, they are all linked, all these excluded people, and because there are tools for patriarcha. I don't know how you say that, for menarchy. You understand what I say?
Patriarchy. Okay.
And so for me, they're linked. They're the same. And the dog is trying to find back his wolf howl, the way wolves, his ancestors, were howling. And the lawyer, the woman who's a lawyer, Avril, she tries to find her voice, a real voice. She has lost her nature. So they're both are looking for, they're fighting against domination and trying to find who they are. And so they are linked. So for me, it was logical to link these two subjects together.
What's very interesting about your movie is, of course, we see this very cute dog, and he's played, by the way, by Cody. I don't know if it's a she or a he, but Cody is playing the dog in the movie, and actually Cody got nominated for the Cannes Palm Dog Award.
He got the prize, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a superstar dog now. And we always see this cute dog. So, of course, the viewer would sympathize a lot with the animal, likely, especially since the animal is perceived as profoundly innocent and having no moral conscience like humans do and no real understanding of human law. But then again, we are supposed to sympathize with the women, or are we not more supposed to laugh at them or take their plight as insignificant?
Well, it's a very good question. For me, human beings and other beings are very complex. So they can be very cute and very violent sometimes. Depends on the situation. Are they right to be violent, or are they wrong? That's a good question. I don't know. I think the woman who's complaining and the dog have also a lot in common. They are very vulnerable. So for me, they are quite the same. I want to take all these characters seriously and what they are looking for seriously. I don't have an answer. It's just they are not treated in a fair way, both of them, women and dogs.
And so it was also a conscious decision to not only take only three women, not men and women or adults and children, but three females. In the court case, and also we have a woman from the lower classes.
Mm-hmm.
We have a woman of color. We mm-hmm. have a woman with a migration background.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also very specific groups in society which
exactly.
all face intersectional discrimination. And that was also like a conscious choice to link those subjects into the whole dog animal question.
Yes, it was. I don't have much to say because you said everything, but there's also a man who has, he's blind, so he has a handicap. He was also like an excluded person. There's this kind of freaky lawyer who's not really, also she's a little bit excluded. There is this little boy who suffers from, bad treatment. So it's all about excluded people and excluded dog. And this dog is quite a symbol of all these characters for me.
And do you have a personal opinion on speciesism? Do you think that animals should be treated equal to humans, or would you say it goes too far?
I think it's a very interesting question, and it demands time. Because if we treat animals exactly as we treat humans, so we can't eat animals anymore, we can't wear leather, it's a big society change. And I think it would be interesting to do that. And it's not only about animals, it's about also vegetables, or everything that we now use, like, I don't know, objects, and that have needs, that have a personal life, a way of being. And if we don't take this way of being in account, ecology is going to be destroyed totally, and we are going to be destroyed. So we have any way to make this situation evolve, yes.
There has already been a time, at least in Central Europe, when animals were put on trial, and that was in the medieval ages.
Mm-hmm.
Did you also go back to those animal trials when, for example, pigs could be tried, and there were court cases also in Germany where pigs were on trial?
There's a very famous case in France, a pig on trial, a woman pig, I don't know how you say that, and she was condemned to death. And to kill her, they put her some women clothes on her before killing her. It was crazy, you know, and when she...
That is very scary.
Very scary, yeah. So, you know, it's always linked, women and animals, they're always linked for me. So I read about that, but that was not the most interesting part, as it was lovely, but not for my film, because what helped me for my film is to look as how trials are really made today, and just replace, so, and just imagine how it would be if it was a dog who has to witness, who has to talk. What should we do to do that? What kind of experts will come? How would it happen if it was not a human but a dog? So I was really copying how trials takes place to today, nowadays.
And this is probably the most important question. How did you find the dog? How did you find Cody? I mean, and also the decision to take this special dog and not any dog or not a group of dogs. You know, often when they work with animals in movies, it's not one animal, but it's maybe three or four or five. And then we see them in the movie as one. But you just took one, which makes it much harder to work with the animal. And how did you find him?
Actually, it was a long, long journey. I drove everywhere in France to find the right dog, meeting also the right dog trainers, because I wanted the dog to be very happy on the set. And so a way of working with dogs that was really joyful. And it's not always the case. So I was looking for a do-it dog trainer dog, and also a dog with a strong personality that could be really, really cute, really moving, and at the same time could be violent. I needed a complex dog. And so I haven't been finding it for months. And then I went on the radio to make the promotion of a film. And I said, today, it was horrible. I casted dogs all day. I'm exhausted. And they heard me on the radio and they wrote to me. And so I went on their website and I saw this dog who's called Cody, he's a bastard. He has 12 species in him. So it would have been impossible to have two dogs playing the same part because he's so peculiar. I really fell in love with this dog. I don't know why, because maybe he has been living in the streets as a puppy. So he has been living in Narbonne, in the south of France, in the streets. So he has such this complex and very melancholic personality and really joyful to work with humans. And also he likes to be a little bit violent, rough when he plays. So that was the dog for the film. That was Cosmo.
And how did shooting go? Because often, you know, dogs are so unpredictable.
Oh, it went so well because we rehearsed a lot. Because he had a lot of things to learn for the shooting, actually. He had to learn a lot of things. You have to see the film. And so we rehearsed a lot. We talked a lot with the dog trainers to make a good planning. So he was working 1 hour and a half in the morning and 1 hour and a half in the afternoon. And between this time, he was just walking with his dog friends. He had a lot of spare time. And we tried to make the dog as happy as possible so he could give the best. And he was like, I don't know, people love him so much on the set. It was very lovely. But the only thing that was problematic is that the dog couldn't howl like a wolf. And that was such a problem because it was so important for the film, for the script. And so we tried to do things with special effects, but it did not work. And 1 week before the beginning of the shooting, the dog trainers find a way to make the dog howl. And that was to imitate a little kitten. Like that. So when you see on screen the dog howling, is there someone somewhere making a little kitten like that? Yeah.
So were there scenes that went completely unexpected and different than you had thought about them because the dog reacted just not as he was supposed to or improvised?
Not that much. Yes, we did a scene I love. We are lying on the grass together and we are playing like if we were two dogs, biting in the air, playing together. And I love this scene and it was not really, it was improvised. But no, nothing was, there's not bad surprise. Everything was just went so well.
And you already kind of implied it now. You played the main part besides Cody, who is Cosmos the dog. That is a special challenge. If you direct a movie, you have also written it, and then you play the main part. How did you manage this kind of... And also, if I'm not mistaken, it's your cinematic feature film debut?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in one and this big challenge for our first project. How did you manage to do that, and how was the experience?
I'm used to writing plays and playing it, and I always direct from the inside with a person of trust outside, and we talk together and we direct this way. So that's my way of working, that I'm always playing in my play because it's so personal. It's like, I don't know, Woody Allen's films or Fleabag. it's kind of logical that you are going to, for me, that you are going to come inside my head. So I have to be there. It's like making a party and you are in the party, quoi, to make people comfortable. So for me, it was the best way to direct my first film was to play in it also. And, but having good collaborators outside that could help, knowing if the shoot is good or not. So it makes a special team atmosphere that is very powerful, I think.
Were there ever moments when you thought about having somebody else play the main role? Or was it always for you clear that you would be that quirky lawyer who defends the dog?
It was completely clear I would be this character. This character he has very intimate parts of me inside it. So I had to express something personal inside this character. So I had to play it.
And how was working with your co-actors, and was like, for example, a good relationship to animals and especially dogs? Was it like a condition on the contract to find the right people, or would it also have been okay if somebody would have been not so great with dogs?
Actually, these actors, they are my favorite actors in France. François Damiens is like a legend in France because he's doing all this, camera, candid cameras. Mm-hmm. Is very, very, very famous because he's very uneasy. He makes you feel ill at ease, you know. It's humor and you feel a little bit ill at ease. And Jean-Pascal Zadi is also doing this kind of subversive humor. So it's exactly what I needed for the parts. But Jean-Pascal Zadi is coming from Côte d'Ivoire, and in his country, dogs living in the streets, you don't have a domestic dog. So he was kind of afraid of dogs.
And he plays the dog trainer, actually, yeah. Which is kind of ironic that one person was anxious about dogs, plays the dog trainer.
Yeah, but he didn't tell me. But I think now he likes dogs a lot, and he works a lot with Cody, and now he likes dogs a lot.
And it would actually also be a question, what did happen to Cody after the movie?
Actually, Cody, he lives with his dog trainers. The dog trainers live with their 8 dogs at home, which is quite rare. They don't live outside, they live at home. And so he has a beautiful life. And now he is in dog retreat. He doesn't need to work anymore because he's 10 years old.
That's really old for a dog.
And so now he's just living his dog life with his lovely dog.
And do you still visit him? And was it hard to let go because you spend such an intense time together?
For me, he's like a friend, and I love going. And the dog trainers are friends to me, so I love going to their house and have a nice time with them and the dog. And for me, Cody is like a friend. I love him so much.
When you were both in Cannes to present this film, did you also have a red carpet appearance with Cody, or did he prefer to stay at the hotel?
No, we asked for it, but they said no, because they had problems a few days before with a dog vomiting. So they didn't want that.
It's typically Cannes. This is so overdramatic. And how did it feel to win that special prize for the best dog actor, and actually to be in Cannes, which is like a huge, it's a huge rush every year?
Actually, for me, it's really important that the dog won a prize because, you know, he has a name on the credits. He has a name on the poster. I don't know if the German poster and the French one. Yes. For me, he's an actor. He knows when we say cut that he has to stop playing. He knows when he hurts you, when you say, ow, he stops. He knows he's playing. So for me, it was important that he would be considered as an actor. So I was very proud for him and for the animal treatment that he got this prize. It's a very, very important prize for me. And Cannes, it was incredible. I wouldn't have dared to think my film would go in Cannes. So I was so proud, and it was such an honor.
And what do you hope people will take from the film if they see it on the big screen?
I hope they will laugh, and that they will be moved by this story, and that will that this story will make them think about our relationship with animals, our relationship with nature, our relationship with between men and women, and about domination and exploitation of the other.
And now that you've have quite a success with this film, do you already have a next project in your mind where you're working at?
I'm waiting for the perfect idea. And during this time, I'm playing for others. Now I'm shooting a film as an actress.
And would you love to do something again that's so closely connected to animals, or maybe any animals?
I don't think I will be able to do anything without an animal somewhere.
Now that your film is soon gonna have a cinematic release, you could already see cinema audiences on festivals reacting to it. How do you perceive people's reactions? How do they feel about the film?
I was surprised that in Germany, the audience in the Q&A talk much more about extreme right.
It's a huge subject in Germany.
Yeah, it's one of the questions of my film. And, you know, in France, it's also a question right now. But never in France I had so many questions about that. People in Germany were particularly moved by this part of the film.
Would you also think that you could your next movie be more political? Because this movie, it has like a number of political themes, as we already mentioned, but on the surface it's still a lighter subject. Would you also do something that's more dark or more serious and not so much in the comedy vein, or do you feel more comfortable with comedy?
For me, it has a lot of philosophical and political questions in this film. And I wanted to treat these questions really seriously in a way, but still that people have a good time, because life is very difficult. And I want them to have 1 hour and 20 minutes of good time. So for me, the questions are really there. They are really profound. But it's important that the film is not too dark. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Maybe it's going to be a little bit less goofy, but still goofy.
Well, that sounds very promising. So if you want to see Dog on Trial from the 6th of February, it's going to have a cinematic release all over Germany. You can already read the festival review from Locarno on Movie Break. And I say thank you to the director and main actor, Letizia Dorsch.
Thank you to you.
And I'm Lida Bach, and hope you stay tuned in for more interviews and everything about films at Movie Break.
And sorry for my English.